Test it.
It's Denise.
Denise. Paper four.
Thank you, Wayne. The purpose of this paper is to provide the Interpretations Committee with a draft of a tentative agenda decision that reflects the conclusions reached by the Interpretations Committee at the January meeting on information included within a condensed statement of cash flows. In this tentative agenda decision, we have reflected the principle that an interim financial report should not be misleading, and we have also identified some other principles from the guidance in IAS 34, and these are that interim financial reports should include information that is relevant and significant to understand an entity's financial position and performance, and also they should include material information. We are asking the Interpretations Committee whether it agrees with this tentative agenda decision.
Sandy?
I read the tentative agenda decision, the third paragraph here, and I guess I'm not a fan of anything that says the acid test is that it shouldn't be misleading. But I feel like it takes the bottom half of this paragraph 10, and it doesn't take the top half of this paragraph 10. And the top paragraph of paragraph 10, well, of IAS 34, paragraph 6 of the paper says an entity should, at a minimum, each of the headings and subtotals that were included in its most recent annual statement. And to me, it's telling me do the same captions plus some others, yet the way that this is written in the tentative agenda decision, it seems to not include that same language or message and says, well, include it except if it's, or just make certain it's not misleading and then explain some other things. And to me, I feel like the first part of paragraph 10 is missing.
Scott, 10 may be missing, but all it says is that you have to have operating, investing, and financing.
It says the same captions.
No, it says headings and subtotals. It doesn't say captions. That's what brought about the problem.
That's how. But headings is the same thing as subtotals.
No, headings is, here's the operating section, here's the investing section, here's the financing section.
Okay, then I misread
it. The subtotals are just.
But I still, what I would still, you know, I still sort of disagree with the notion that the acid test should be that it should not be misleading, as we've stated it here. That we should include only things so that it's not misleading, rather than saying we should include things that make it relevant and useful. Because they're different sides of the same coin.
The problem that we've always had is these are condensed. So how far can you condense? That's the issue. And I don't, short of some kind of language like this, we're going to get into awfully specific.
The agenda decision as written didn't make the link strong enough. I'd have said something like, while the first half of paragraph 10 suggests that the minimum might be just totals for operating, investing, and financing, the rest of paragraph 10 and other principles in IAS 34 tell us that it is unlikely that a three-line cash flow statement will be sufficient because you can't be misleading, you need to put out relevant information, etc. All these things that are already referenced in the standard, but we haven't, my sense is that we all, when we talked about this last time, said because of all these other principles that are laid out, we think it'd be highly unlikely that you could possibly conclude three lines is enough.
Well, that's the same thing as saying, you know, that we would think that assets, liabilities, and equity is sufficient on the balance sheet.
I understand, but The standard says what it says.
Right, but...
We're trying to tell people, don't only read the first sentence of paragraph 10.
Right, but they seem to be applying a different... The question, my point is that nobody interprets it the same way for the balance sheet and income statement as they do for the statement of cash flows. And I agree that I misread it, but we're also saying, you know, that by including headings and subtotals, we're saying that it's okay to do assets, liabilities, and equity. We're saying it's not being interpreted the same in the statement of cash flows as it is on the balance sheet or on the income statement.
That's
because
right.
Nobody would agree. Nobody would think that that was acceptable.
I agree. But we were asked about cash flows. Do we really need to say that you might argue that you could only do current assets, total assets?
Let's get other people involved here. Reinhardt?
I think the issue that Sandy points out is really the crux of the issue in my mind, because IS-1 makes reference to line items, headings, and subtotals, whereas IS-34, as we were just talking about, just talks about headings and subtotals. And so there's kind of generally two views out there that in practice, some people will read IS-34 paragraph 20 to say, well, it's deliberately excludes line items, therefore for the statement of cash flows, I can have a three line item cash flow, and make similar conclusions with respect to the balance sheet and income statement, and that the condensing really is in the notes, where there are others who take the view, well, we're going to use the same line items. It's kind of implicit that you should have maybe the same line items, headings, and subtotals as the annual finance statements as per IS-1, and that the only condensing you do is in the context of the notes of the financial statement. So there's those two views out there, and I think that the issue is that as we're talking about, this draft agenda decision doesn't really clearly enunciate which view is better or which is the appropriate view, and whether the conclusions one reaches for the condensed statement of cash flows should be consistently applied to the other primary financial statements. And so I agree. Our discussion last time was along the lines of that in context, looking at the principles in IS-34, simply presenting three line items in and of itself would be likely not sufficient information. But as I say, the concern or the issue I raise is that there's this disconnect between IS-1 and IS-34 that this issue highlights that isn't necessarily resolved. And I understand that we as a committee probably can't resolve that clearly without perhaps some amendments or proposed amendments to IS-34.
Andrew?
I think probably most people are saying similar things so far, and in which case I'd agree with them. I do think that the agenda decision should at least acknowledge what IS-34 has to say about the minimum content before going on to remind people that the minimum content isn't normally going to be enough in most situations, and exhort people, reminding them of the other principles in the standard to include more detail. But we shouldn't just blithely ignore what it has to say about the minimum amount of content, because there are maybe rare situations where that will be sufficient. I think the outreach indicated that there wasn't a great deal of diversity in practice, at least in the sense that most entities were including some additional line items. I don't think we can extrapolate that to say, therefore, all the line items in the annual statements must be included, but maybe it would be helpful to also refer to that lack of diversity at that level of including something beyond the minimum.
Laurence?
When I read the agenda decision, I was wondering myself, is it useful? And I was unfortunately coming to the view that no, it is not really useful because it's not responding to the question you asked, Wayne. How far can you condense? And this is not saying anything. I mean, when I read the paragraphs, does it tell you should not just go to your three-line item? No, it does not. So I think that, but you cannot say that you should not just go for three-line items because the standards are not written in that way. So the only way to add something useful to say, well, those who would like to do so, it's not really good, is to find ways around. Like one way could be, as Andrew mentioned, refer to lack of diversity, noting from some outreach that generally companies present more than three line items or something like that. But at the moment, is it changing something? I don't think so. So the agenda decision is not really bringing anything in addition.
Tony, and then did you want to come in?
Yeah.
Okay.
I understand the concerns that Sandy and others have, but I share Reinhardt's comment. The standard says what it says at the moment. I think it's beyond the scope of what the committee do to address the fact that the standard appears to permit three line items. My sense of the agenda decision is that it might possibly make the linkages a bit better and say, rather than basing it all off it not being misleading, it's say, well, the principle of IS 34 is to provide an update since the last year end, which is the reference to paragraph 15. And maybe use that to say, you need to provide all the information so that people understand what's happened. And maybe, to pick up on what Scott said, it is unlikely you can achieve that with the three line items. That way, I think it does address the question we were asked, but doesn't take it that extra step, which is what we can't do, which is to fix the tension between IS 1 and IS 7. So maybe just, it's just maybe fiddling around a little bit with what's here, but to build the linkages a bit more clearly.
Okay, Alan, you wanted to come in?
Just two things. I agree. I think it's clear, and that I don't see a tension between the two. It's just they're clear words. It says headings and subtitles. It doesn't say line items. But we're also addressing this as part of the disclosure initiative. It's actually one of the we've got a scope paper going to our board next month, and looking at the presentation of disclosure generally, we are going to ask the question about interim financial statements, because we have the tension is actually between us and the FASB actually on any joint projects, because the FASB has tended to put into their interim financial reports everything they put into their annual financial reports, and that's not been our process in here, because the general concept in 34 is it's an update. So unless we actually address that fundamental question, I think we almost have to live with the words we have in 34, because it's quite a fundamental issue about whether in fact you want a lot more detail or just an update. We're not convinced we're going to solve the problems in the disclosure initiative, but the idea is to get all the issues out on the table, because it's as well as this, is the issue about discrete versus integral, for example, how we're supposed to divide up the periods, and we've never really asked that question, so we think it's an appropriate one to ask, because it does affect many standards. So that's just to say, you don't need to refer to that in the rejection, but we are trying to work on that process as well.
Don,
Thank you.
Came from you guys.
That's right. As enforcers, we would appreciate if there was something added to this decision that it's unlikely that the three-line cash flow statement will give sufficient information or something like that. Regarding the disconnection with IS 1, there is not only a disconnection regarding the line items, but also the cash flows. When you look to paragraph 15, cash flows are not mentioned. Only mentioned is the performance and the balance sheet. And when you compare that to IS 1, there you have also the cash flow mentioned. So we would like to raise that issue as well, that the disconnection might be referred to the board, and not only the line items, but also the cash flow issue. Thank you.
Charlotte, and then I'm going to go to the phone.
I was just concerned with the proposals to add something like it's highly unlikely that you could meet this without adding more line items, or the highly. That just seems to me almost to be changing. There almost becomes a presumption that you should then put all the line items you had in your annual unless you can prove that they're not relevant, which seems to me a step too far. And I agree that I don't think it's particularly helpful at the moment, because it only tells you to go and look at IS 34, but I don't think you should create a different burden of proof or presumption for cash flow statements than anything else, which I think that risks doing.
Hey, Long?
It makes sense that the proposed rejection notice discusses paragraph 10 in the context of other presentation principles in IS 34. But I have the same concern with some of the other members. I believe it would be helpful if it say whether you believe that the Bay 3 line presentation will likely meet the test that is defined by rejected notice. It seems to me that why technically not excluded, it is rather difficult to get over the relevance and the maturity hurdle with a three-line presentation.
John?
I mean, I don't think the agenda decision adds very much to the sort of sum of human knowledge, but it does serve as a reminder to look at the whole standard and not just one sentence in paragraph 10. And therefore, I think it reiterates the broader requirements of the standard and the principles that should be applied in making the disclosures. So I think in that sense it's adequate. I would not be in favor of adding any presumption that three lines is not sufficient. I think that's to presume where it's not our role to presume.
Sandy, and then Julie, did you want to come in on this at all?
No, Atan made the point.
Okay, Sandy? And John?
The fact that it seems like we've conditioned ourselves to the fact that it wouldn't be acceptable to have subtotals and headings on the balance sheet and income statement, but we'd have to have this conversation on the statement of cash flows. To me, it seems as though it wouldn't be a stretch to say that if you've made the assumption that on the balance sheet and income statement something else is required, why wouldn't you feel to meet the requirements of paragraph 25, which is that it explains the transactions, that you would have to have a similar level of condensation on the statement of cash flows that you know, you've sort of created the presumption in the other financial statements that they would be misleading if you didn't include that, but not on the statement of cash flows. So
hold that thought. That was exactly where I was going to go.
Yeah.
So, John, then we'll wrap it up.
Yeah, well, also, I think the agenda item doesn't say much. And I think basically IS 34, in my mind, is flawed, and we're stuck with it. I don't really understand as a preparer what there is so much to gain in presenting three line item on the statement of cash flow, where to present these three line items you need to prepare anyway the underlying numbers. So I was tempted to go with a suggestion that we would say that it's unlikely to be sufficient in most instances, but I don't know on what basis we can say so. But just all of that to say that having heard everybody else, that we're a little bit stuck with that. But but my point is, I think that interim reporting has become more and more important and relevant to the financial market, and this should be fixed. Maybe IS 34 should be fixed and require some sort of more stringent requirement for that type of disclosure. And as Sandra has pointed out, on a balance sheet item, I don't think anybody would conclude that three or four line items on a balance sheet is sufficient for the reader of the financial statement. Why is it on the statement of cash flow that you have lesser requirement or lesser interpretation of the requirement? I don't know. But if at all possible, I would support being more forceful on, you know, saying that it's unlikely to be sufficient.
Let me see if I can draw a loop around this, Laurence, unless you've got something that's really, really important. Well, let me try mine, and then maybe we'll see. couple of things. This was a live issue that came to us from our friends at ESMA, so they've seen it, which means that it's not uncommon, or whatever gradient you want to use there. Point one. Point two, the statement of cash flows is a primary financial statement. It is not less important than the balance sheet and the income statement. That's what our standards say. But primary financial statements. Therefore, and I wrote this down and several people have said it since I wrote it down, it would seem like in preparing condensed financial statements, you ought to think about all of them in the same way. So unless you believe that you can present a condensed balance sheet that says assets, liability, and equity, you cannot be consistently thinking about it by saying operating, financing, and investing cash flows. So maybe this idea that we need to incorporate into our agenda rejection, recognizing that Alan's merry band will be dealing with this later, is that you have to think consistently. Number one, across all of the interim financial statements, and number two, across the entirety of the standard. Because it does seem like the only way you get to the three-line idea is by an incredibly selective reading. That if you took the thing as a whole, you wouldn't get there. Would it be reasonable then to redraft the agenda decision to take into those things? I know there's some desire to add the admonition that it's unlikely, but I don't think we can get there. I don't think we can make that strong enough or tight enough. But I think if we introduce these other ideas, we'll get to the same place. Now, Laurence, is that generally where you were headed, or did you?
No, I think we are on the same line. I was reacting to Tom's comment about paragraph 15 to say it does not cover the cash flow statement. And I think this is where the problem might come from. Because when it reads an entity shall include in its interim financial report an explanation of events, transactions that are significant to an understanding of the changes in financial position and performance of the entity since the end of the last annual reporting period, some may interpret that because it refers to financial position and performance, this only means balance sheets and a statement of comprehensive income. Whereas, no, it says changes in financial position and performance. And we know that performance and financial position, you assess it not just with the balance sheets and the statement of comprehensive income. It includes, as you said, all statements. You need all statements to have a proper understanding of the financial position and performance. So I'm exactly joining your point that is maybe we need to explain that paragraph 15 refers to financial position performance and that this refers to all statements. Primary statements, and then you have that latter sentence, and you add up, I think.
But the record show that Laurence and I agreed.
more often than you think. Right. But you always seem surprised.
Okay. Does the staff have sufficient guidance?
Yeah, we'll try.
Okay. I don't think this has to come back. We'll circulate it for fatal flaw.
Yes. Okay.
When we do the update.
Thank you.
Uncle Dokel. Joint arrangements, papers 5.